Blog Talk Radio.
Music to wake up in the morning. Hi, my name is Bennett Pomerantz, and this is Any Which Way But Loose. And this is the World of Ink's wonderful, wonderful show. And so this is a 90-minute show. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do this show, and I have to thank Marcia Casper-Cook and Virginia Grenier. If I don't thank them, I feel very bad because they are giving me this wonderful opportunity. I have four guests. Well, three are here in the studio, and one hopefully will be here soon. I hope she doesn't forget, but that's okay. Let me start with the first in, last come. No. Kim, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, God. Hi, I'm KB Miller. I'm an author of paranormal romance, young adult romance, new adult romance,
and a damn good author, I will say that, okay?
Thank you so much.
Well, I call her superstar. So if I break down and call her superstar, understand, you know.
You're too kind.
Thank you.
You're too kind to me.
But I love you. You know that. You're great. You really are.
I love you, Patty, would you like...
I'm sorry, sweetheart, I didn't hear you.
I said I love you, Bennett. You're so sweet.
Thank you. Patty, would you like to introduce yourself so they know who you is?
Okay, certainly. That's my little take on the Stooges, Three Stooges.
I love Curly.
I am P.I. Barrington, and I write generally sci-fi, futuristic near future, crime thrillers, adventures romance, a couple of dark, really dark stories that are sci-fi as well. And I'm working on, believe it or not, a Western historical. So
I want an arc when it's out.
Oh, you shall have it.
Either that or she's going to ask me to write the forward. I don't know which.
Yeah, I will.
Justin, would you like to tell these people who you are and what you are? Because I know you're a very, very good author.
Well, thanks, and thanks for having me here. And my pen name is Justin Bogd. My real name is Justin Bogdanovich, having out a lot of letters on that last name. But I write psychological suspense, and just recently have been getting into more of the horror side of suspense, but more of the 70s stuff, not the gross-out torture porn or things like that that are too gruesome. But
well, that's why
that's
I linked
too.
You and KB Miller. I mean, maybe one day you guys will write a book together and then you'll blame me. It's all my fault.
Well, that would be awesome. Well, I also know that, hey, Bennett, this is the official first show with this new name, right?
Uh-huh.
Any Which Way But Loose. So I wanted to congratulate you on that, too.
Thank you. Well, it used to be called Another Anything Goes, but the World of Ink Network used to get that confused with my show, Anything Goes, so we wanted to make sure they wanted the name changed, and I don't mind giving to them, and people on Twitter spoke up and said, yeah, they want this, so I said, fine. And our fourth panelist, hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm alive, maybe even kicking. Why don't you introduce yourself quickly?
So I'm Rachel Rawlings, author of dark paranormal fantasy and horror. In two sentences, that's who I am.
She's quicker than I had one guest that went down the liturgy of their life. You know, it's like
no mincing words.
No mincing words. Okay. Let me start with a simple question for the evening, and this is. Because somebody said this to me, and they're like, they were complaining because this weekend the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is just, they've redone it again. And now, of course, also they just said that there's going to be a Batman reboot in 2018. Steven Spielberg is going to redo West Side Story. Of course, The Rock just did Hercules. And if you saw Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm not trying to spoil it for you, and I won't spoil the movie for you, but you'll notice at the end, Howard the Duck. Yes, the one from the 70s, that an 80s movie with Leia Thompson. Howard the Duck is in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, so it's like they're talking about doing a Howard the Duck movie. So, what TV show or movie should not be remade?
That one.
Come on, Howard the Duck.
It's funny that they're making a movie for him because he's in, they have that in like one of the Lego games, the PlayStation games that my kids have, and I was like, what is Howard the Duck doing in your PlayStation game? Like, why is that even in there?
Okay, so Howard the Duck, I'm a comic book freak nerd and always have been. Howard the Duck was written, there are many, many issues written by this famous author of the time, and they are a cult. He's a cult figure with high respect for the writing of it, and then the art too. And then they made this horrible movie, and everyone hated him. Couldn't stand Howard the Duck, but now the director of Guardians of the Galaxy loves him too, and made a cameo at the end. I think I didn't see it yet, but Ben, it was at the end.
Yeah, it's at the end. You know how it's right after right during the credits, they run two or three little surprises at the end. You know. And it annoys the heck out of me because you got to sit in the seat until the end of the movie.
Yeah, I think the problem is that all these bad movies from the 80s, like, we're all still around, so we remember it. Like, our generation grew up with these horrible movies, and so when the remakes come out, we're like, what? Why? It was terrible.
I think they're trying to, appeal to our generation, you know, those of us that were in the 80s. And
well, then they shouldn't remake those movies.
I know.
If they want to appeal to us. The wrong way.
That's the same.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. They weren't that good to begin
on that note, though, but if you talk to someone who's 20, 21, I'm nearing 50 myself, so I mean, if you talk to somebody who's 20, 21, they don't even know that Rosemary's Baby had an original movie.
Wow.
You know, they don't know that a lot of the movies that are remakes actually are remakes. So they're making it for a new generation, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, but West Side Story, come on.
Yeah, true. That one's scary.
But Steven Spielberg is involved, so I don't think he's directing it. I'm not sure. But Steven Spielberg doing West Side Story, I mean, you know, who could you get to play Maria? I mean, really. I mean, that's like Carrie Underwood doing, and please excuse me, if you're going to send me cards and letters, send it to the email audioworld@yahoo.com. West Side Story with Carrie Underwood. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Julie Andrews will always be Maria. I'm sorry. Yeah. Now,
as long as it's not Justin Bieber.
What scares me is I'm waiting for December when Christopher Walken is going to play Captain Hook, and Brian Williams' daughter, who's in the TV show Girls, is going to play Peter Pan. So it's like the musical version that Mary Martin did many, 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 many years ago.
Yeah, my God, decades that ran, I think. So.
Wow.
So this is scary, and what also scares me is they've just announced there will be a Frozen 2.
Don't hate on the Frozen.
I don't hate on the Frozen, but it's like Frozen is like it's complete. You didn't need anything else.
No,
it was
it's
wonderful.
Not complete. It can never be complete until there's more.
Why? Why isn't it complete? I felt like it was resolved, and that's just the Disney money machine at it again.
No, Olaf. They can make a skeletal Olaf, or they can make, you know, I don't know, another kind of Olaf.
All right, we'll make Olaf have a movie, but it doesn't have to be a Frozen 2.
But it can be a Frozen spinoff.
I love that Olaf film, Frozen.
Little snow babies and...
Yeah, I would love an Olaf movie. That would be like Mater having a movie. You know, it's like, yeah, the Mater movie.
I'd rather see an Olaf movie 7 days a week for the rest of my life than for me to have to see that idiot Justin Bieber or to see that crackhead Miley Cyrus twerk across the stage again with some foam rubber finger. Just give me Olaf and I'm good.
I don't mind Wrecking Ball, the song, listening to it. I just don't like watching the video.
Seriously, can someone explain? I understand. I'm close to, you know, 40. I understand being different, standing out. I get that whole thing. I remember doing it when I was 18 to 25, and what the hell is with this tongue? With everywhere and foam rubber fingers, and that's not being different. That's just out there. I don't understand it.
If you look at Madonna, you know, in the 80s, she's doing like a virgin. So it's just, I think it's a generational thing now.
Yeah.
You know, every
and it's
so
power
many.
Too. Yeah.
It's what?
Well, look at all the Disney stars. Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, Hilary Duff have all gone, even Ashley Tisdale, have all gone adultish entertainment away from Disney the moment they per se left the Mouse House. I mean, Hannah Montana suddenly, I mean, there are a couple that stick around, or at least they're doing ABC Family or something.
Did it relatively successfully with Scary Movie 5, I think. You know, she just didn't go completely apeshit like some of those other people did in between leaving Disney and making Scary Movie 5. Yeah. I think that was kind of an easier transition.
I'm an unapologetic Miley Cyrus fan, and I'm, again, nearing 50. But it's almost a year later, September, where she did her performance. And we're still talking about it. And
this is true.
Amazing.
I'm just talking about it because it gives me nightmares. Seriously, I keep having nightmares of big teddy bears, and I don't know what to make of it.
Justin Bieber as one of the sharks in the remake of West Side Story scares me more.
I'm hoping he's not even in there. But he might
Here's
be a good candidate for
Justin.
It, though.
Well, you have to understand, too, that I worked in entertainment for a long time, and a lot of it is publicity. You know, it's getting out there, and that's what he was saying. We're still talking about it. And so a lot of it, I think the young artists and the young actors and singers and all of that, I think they're much more business savvy now. You know, they're I'll invest my money and I'll do this and all that. You know, they're much more business-like, I think, than earlier generations that – you know, lost their money because they just thought it was always going to be rolling in, and I think they're more savvy now. So, you know, you can't discount that this could be, you know, and maybe, you know, just a form of publicity, you know, to kick off their career in a different direction. So that's just my opinion.
I agree with you. I mean, but the thing is, whatever happened to good behavior being rewarded? I mean, I'm sorry. Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus. I mean, you know, if they defecate themselves in public like Bieber did, it becomes national news.
You're calling him Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I know who he is.
I looked it up. His name actually means that in German.
Bieber. How funny.
Oh my God. I guess I don't get that whole thing. I just don't. Not at all. I understand standing out, being different. I think it's great, but I know that I have a 12-year-old son, and that is the last role model. There's a whole litany of them, but, you know, I don't want him to see it. And it's funny because he's, you know, he is 12, and he looks at it, and he's like, I'm like, don't ask me. I have no clue. He's like, what is she doing? Dude, I was born in 1975. I have no clue what the hell that's called.
Yeah.
Well, I think in Justin Bieber's case, it's kind of the old adage, you know, he has too much too soon. And I think that if he, there was a big thing, and people were saying, oh, he wants street credit. He wants to be a thug, you know. And
street credit for what?
Yeah,
the hair
I know. And he's, you know, and I think he just kind of derailed there somewhere. And I think that's what it is. Because when you think about it, a lot of stars who are in here, I mean, he's sold so much, he has so much money, that he really doesn't have any boundaries. You know, he doesn't go, oh, I can't get arrested because I'll go to work on Monday morning and my boss will fire. He doesn't have any of those limitations monetarily.
He didn't
earn
it either. So. Do you know what I mean? Like, he didn't have to put the work in to get it. He made a little video. He put it up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It got some hits. It went viral. There was no real work put into it. There was not. He didn't earn anything. Like,
yeah.
You used to have to, like, you know, kind of pay your dues and
exactly.
do some
oh,
crappy
yeah.
gigs and
oh, God,
fairs
thank you for saying
some
that.
Other things.
You
know what I mean?
To.
You kind of got
to
pay it forward, and none of that happens. So they don't appreciate what they have.
Yes, exactly.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't go, you know, it wasn't like rock bands. They go on the road for a year and a half, you know, and he hasn't done that. He, like you said, his video went viral. Next thing you know, he's on the Grammys, and it's just kind of, the internet just is so powerful in that, you know, people can do that now. You know, that you can make a video, it's funny or whatever, and it'll go viral, and it, you know, like a grumpy cat, you know, started off as a series of pictures, and now the grumpy cat has an agent. You know, I saw watching television the other morning, and they had like the owners of Grumpy Cat. Well, we wrote a book about Grumpy Cat's life all day long.
And they
I
have a
like,
literary agent.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who would like to have a literary agent that can actually speak
yeah.
and do all kinds
right.
of things with their opposable thumbs that can't do. But, you know, not bitter
it's
or anything.
Litter box, it's a litter box agent.
Like, you don't sound bitter
yeah.
not at all, Rachel. Not at all. Just kind of like
but,
I'm
know,
not
I mean,
bitter
we,
over
we
here
want, either. We want to
yeah,
get
right?
Grumpy Cat a book. Right. I mean, sheesh, at least they'll have somebody that he can look down to. You know, I'm still.
Don't get me wrong. I love Grumpy Cat, and everybody on Facebook knows that I love Grumpy Cat because I am. What you see is what you get. There are days that I am completely happy and fine, and there are other days that humanity pisses me off. Just people breathing around me pisses me off, and so I'll put something up there. And I love him, but who the hell needs a book?
I know.
About Grumpy Cat. Are you going to tell us how to reproduce one of these so I can have one right here? Are you going to teach me how to clone that stupid thing?
So is Grumpy Cat your celebrity crush, Kim?
Yeah. Him and Justin Bieber.
So who is your celebrity crush?
My celebrity crush? Oh, my
yes.
goodness. You know what? Honestly,
no, Bennett,
I have two answers. I do have two answers for this. Okay. And I know that this is going to sound really weird because he's dead. John Wayne.
God
my
bless
favorite
you.
Movie of all time is McClintock. If I'm upset, if something's not going right, I will sit down and watch that movie and by the time it's over, I am feeling better. I love every movie that man's ever done. I worship the ground that he walked on. He's incredible. The other one, and this, I know it's going to sound horrible, but Rachel, because she is the founder of Hella Reed, and that was my first convention last year, and I'm going back again this year. There's a pub there that had Batman, like painted all over.
Yes,
like,
I know pub very well.
I
went
home
with my Batman shirt in it.
There's pictures of me like standing against each of these things, and of all of the Batmen that have
mm-hmm.
that have done this. I'm so sorry. This cell phone keeps going crazy. Of all of the Batmen, my favorite, Val Kilmer. I love his lips. He has got the most beautiful lips. Yeah, his lips.
We're not
I'm sorry.
You,
I am a lip woman.
You should hear his audio version of Zorro. Oh, God.
No. Look, I'm not saying I like his voice or nothing like that. I'm just saying those
I'm
lips.
Just saying, playing Zorro, oh,
saying,
my God.
We're not
Val Kilmer could do it.
You just
it.
Said
I mean,
Val Kilmer is your favorite Batman.
He is because of his lips. Now, if we're talking about who pulled off Batman better,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Michael Keaton. I'm going to go with Michael Keaton. But
I think everything
you,
about the
you
Tim
mean
Burton
you
Batman
don't
want to
say
stuff.
Adam West?
Yeah, Adam
he's
West
mine.
Is awesome.
Well, look, he's a little bit too old for me. John Wayne's a different story, but you know,
hey, I'll tell you what. Adam West is still rocking it. He was rocking it at Comic-Cons the last time I went to two of them.
Yeah, he's 85 years old.
He was at San Diego's Comic-Con, wasn't he?
He was at San Diego
yeah.
Comic-Con because they're promoting.
He's at New York.
By the
like,
way, guys, they're promoting the new Batman. Well, it ain't new. It's the 1966 Batman complete box set.
Ooh.
The whole, all 130 episodes are coming to DVD and Blu-ray. Ooh.
Wow.
It's the first time, too. But he had a lot of trouble with the rights to get with the companies and the networks to get that to happen. So they finally figured it out, and it's 3 years
I don't care.
Three.
I don't care how they got it, but it's like da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, it's like.
Oh, that's mine. Everyone, when they say that, I have a big, huge. My husband made this thing in my office that says the Batcave because I'm obsessed with Batman. He is my favorite. He's my favorite superhero, and he always has been. When I was a little girl, I used to dress up like Batman, and my mom would say, "No, you're Batgirl." No, I'm Batman.
The Blu-ray edition, by the way, has Batman trading cards and a miniature Batmobile and an Adam West scrapbook.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, yeah, and they also want an extra $45 for such toys, but it's like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
like
anybody
Adam
who
West.
Wants to get me a December seasonal autograph, you know what to get me now.
I think Adam West is my favorite because it was so campy. You know, I think
that's
the appeal factor for me.
Oh, that makes it great, absolutely.
Yeah, pow. And I love when the words come on the screen. It was like a, you know, living comic book with the pow and
right.
the zap. And,
what do you guys think about
the only
Wonder
thing
Woman?
I missed was, Wonder Woman was like that, but it didn't have the pow and zam and things like that. But, you know, I wish they would have had a cameo by Superman sometime during there, but they didn't. So it was, like, really depressing. And the two episodes with the Green Hornet was so nice. With Bruce Lee as Kato. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, and the
villains. You can tell that we're all book nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. I mean, this, you know, so, you know, Batman is your celebrity crush, right? Val Kilmer or Batman?
Well, it's Batman, but when he's got that thing on with those lips, it's something about those lips in that suit that I hate the way that he actually, I don't like his voice when he's playing Batman. I don't care for it at all. But those lips, I can imagine Michael Keaton through Val Kilmer's lips. And maybe now with Ben Affleck's body, except for I don't really want to picture Ben Affleck as Batman. That's like really, really wigging me out.
I think what you need is to Photoshop it.
Right.
Put the lips and the eyes and the voice.
That would end up looking like Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
There's a remake for Howard
the Duck. I could picture that, you know? I could picture that. So, Rachel, who's your celebrity crush?
Oh. These questions.
Other than me.
Probably Sean Penn. Oh, no, wait, let me back that up. I'm kind of a big Robert Downey Jr. fan right now.
Ooh.
Older Robert Downey Jr. or Iron Man Downey Jr., if you know what I mean.
Pre-Ally
McBeal
right
before
now,
he went to prison?
After. After.
I'm just making sure because people are like, oh, I love Robert Downey Jr. And it's like, before he did Ally McBeal. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have to define it. People are like, oh,
I mean,
shit.
I remember him in the movies with, you know, when the Brat Pack was big, you know, but it's like, and that whole group of actors and actresses out. But I definitely think he's kind of hit his stride now, like where he is in his career.
So do you like him as Iron Man or Sherlock Holmes?
Both. I do. I don't know. A lot of people probably don't, but I do like those Sherlock Holmes movies.
So should he do another Iron Man, or should he do another Sherlock Holmes movie?
I'd rather have another Sherlock Holmes movie, personally. But, I mean,
well,
I like Iron Man.
I was reading that he's going to revitalize Perry Mason for the screen.
Really?
Which is, which is scary because he's in a new movie called The Judge with Robert Duvall, where
I saw something about that, but I didn't know that was is that what that's leading up to?
Yeah, well, no, the Perry Mason, he's been working on the script. He's co-producing it with his wife. And they're working on Sherlock Holmes 3 and Iron Man 4. And, of course, the new Avengers movie is next year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So his boat is full. He's got a full plate. And we're not even talking about his son's drug addiction. We're talking about just his boat is full with all the stuff he's got coming up. I mean, he's busier than a bumblebee.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he'll do with John Favreau has a new movie called Chef about a food cart. And, yeah, he did a cameo, an 8-minute cameo in the movie. So, he'll do things for his friends, you know what I mean? And he will, I just was reading about it, he will cameo on S.H.I.E.L.D. this year, TV series S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
That's cool.
I mean, if Sam Jackson came last year, Robert Downey Jr. this year, it's like, okay.
I think they're all connected, though, by character, right?
He's going to play Tony Stark or something. It'll be a quick, Tony Stark kind of moment, Stark saying, yes, we're going to buy that for the S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, Because all this is leading. Sam Jackson's character, Nick Fury, supposedly dies in Captain America, and of course is revitalized in S.H.I.E.L.D. And Colby Smothers, of course, is in the new S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. So Sam Jackson, they were in the last episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's all coming full circle. And Disney is milking it for every dollar they've got. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be more Marvel movies than we can shake a stick at.
That's exploding. This is exploding. Okay, I'm going to tell you this.
They're going to do the Ant-Man movie just what we wanted to see. Ant-Man, don't we want about a dozen copies now? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
they should absolutely do Ant-Man. I mean, they've done Sharknado.
One and two.
has everybody seen Sharknado 2?
I have.
Your copy, the first one. I did. It's cheesy and corny and sci-fi.
I sat down
and watched that with popcorn.
Who hasn't seen it yet?
I haven't.
Yeah, Barrington.
It's awesome.
Oh God! You guys have to get it, rent it, see it, whatever, on Sci-Fi Channel or Sci-Fi Channel on Demand or whatever. It is so campy. And if you're looking for cameos, God, this has more cameos than you could shake four sticks at.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Second one.
The second one. Yeah.
The second one. We're in the city now. The sharks are invading the city. I have a few politicians I'd like for some of those sharks to land on.
Well, they're already talking about Sharknado 3, and Daniel Radcliffe, was saying he would love to be in Sharknado 3 if they could find him a role where he'd be eaten by a shark.
Awesome.
So, is it Sharknado's over London, or is it just Sharknado's over Washington? I would say Sharknado's over London this time. Where would you guys like to put it? Washington, London, Miami, take some place.
The royal version.
Yeah.
The what?
The royal version.
My God.
Sharknado, UK.
Yes, sure.
I want to see Queen Elizabeth pull out an Uzi or a chainsaw and start cutting that mother down.
I would like Prince Charles to get bitten by the shark. Okay.
Or Camilla.
No, they're going to have to. The shark's going to hack off an ear first.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be like a tuck. He could get an ear tuck from the shark.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, are they going to get Al and Matt Lauer and Al Roker to be visiting London, because they had more lines than Tara Reid did in the whole movie.
And who can understand what she says anyway? Hello, I don't understand. Wait, can you articulate a sentence, please? Just please, just one. I'm not asking for the whole damn movie, just one.
Oh yeah, but
can you tell that I'm in a mood tonight?
I'm enjoying every second of it. But you know the one thing I love, and I'm going to spoil it for some people who haven't seen it yet. She gets her hand hand cut off. Okay.
Is
and she's fitted
hand?
With a chainsaw on the hand. And that's all I'm going to tell you. But she saves Ian Ziering, you know, with the chainsaw on her hand.
Oh,
I don't know
man.
How
wow.
she maneuvered it or how she manipulated it. But, yeah, it is a little gory. But it's PG gory. It's you know, I mean, when somebody gets bitten by the shark, you see a spout of blood or whatever. And Kelly Osbourne is the first one that buys it. Yay!
It's become a franchise,
okay.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, they certainly planned for 2015 or for 2015, so I'm waiting for it. I really want to see it. The one thing I will tell you what I enjoyed immensely about it was, you know, as you said, you could count the cameos, but Robert Hayes from Airplane played the captain.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, that's it. Now I have to see it. I love him.
It's
you
just
have
a cheese box movie.
I'm sorry.
It's the best.
It's the easiest
cheese box movie.
Wow. It is, but if you expect Lawrence of Arabia, no, you got the wrong movie.
If you're looking for a romantic comedy, this is not the movie for you. However, if you like cheesy Shark Week events that you would have loved to, because stupid people go into the water when they know that there are sharks there, and you'd like to see them get eaten, this is the movie for you, and I enjoy it. I love it. I sit there and go, you're getting ready to get eaten. Look! Yeah! I'm cheering the sharks one. My husband's like, Kim, stop that. That's not nice.
Well the
horror,
funniest thing
horror,
is they
horror.
Had Judd Hirsch as a cab driver. A la tax.
That's funny.
Yeah,
Judd,
and he says, I'm a part-time actor. It's like, yeah, heard this one before. Oh, God. But it's like, you know, to watch such, I will not say trash, because I don't consider it trash. It's popcorn. It's fun stuff. What's your favorite popcorn movie? Let me start with Patty. What's your favorite popcorn movie?
Wow. There's so many.
Well, go ahead. Give me a list. I'll take it.
There are. I don't know. My favorite popcorn movie would have to be The Hideous Sun Demon, because it's so old and it's so terrible. And even as a little kid, I remember laughing at it. And it was such a strange movie. I just, as a little kid, I thought it was funny. And I think the latest one the other night was Planet of Terror with the zombies. So those would be two of them.
Justin, what's your favorite?
Favorite popcorn movie, and it fits into the celebrity crush thing, is both of them from What's Up, Doc, is Madeline Kahn is my favorite of all time.
Uh-huh.
The comedian Eunice Burns, and that's my favorite popcorn movie. I could see it.
Oh, with Peter Bogdanovich's What's Up, Doc. Oh, I love that.
Yes. And Barbara Streisand and a very
Brian O'Neill, John Hillerman, Sorrell Books. Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm not even looking it up. I know this one by heart. I was watching it about a month ago.
Yeah, Madeline Connor, and my favorite line is, don't you know the meaning of propriety? And then Barbara Streisand tells her what it is. And it's just funny. It's just so great. Every line is perfect.
And she keeps calling him Steve.
Right. Burnsy. Burnsy and Steve.
Burnsy, yeah. No, Burnsy, yeah. So, Rachel, what's your favorite popcorn movie?
Have you ever seen that Kentucky Fried movie?
Oh, yeah, with John. Like, John oh, oh, yes.
Yeah. I think that one.
So let me give you mine, because I've got two people already messaged me. What's yours, Bennett? What's yours? Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, classic.
I mean, you know, it's like, yes, but I catcall the screen, you know. What's your favorite color? Magenta. Where do you buy your stuff? Columbia. It's like, yeah, right on top
exactly.
of it. Riff, show us your mother.
I used to go to the movies when they had, when they would have where they would act, the audience would interact with it, a toast, and they would throw toast at the screen.
I miss those. They used to have them all over the place. Now they're few and far between.
Yeah, they stopped. But it was great. I actually went to a couple of them. It was hysterical.
Whatever happened to good midnight shows?
I know.
Eraserhead.
They do a re-show here locally, Washington, Mount Vernon, at the Art Theater. They do Rocky Horror around Halloween, and full dress up, and it's very fun.
Oh, wow. So
you have to find that. You can still find it, probably in L.A., too, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure on Halloween here. I took my mom to it.
So what's the worst film any of you have ever seen? The worst. I don't mean popcorn film. I mean the worst film. It's like, I will never watch this again on whatever.
Again, there are so many.
Catwoman with Halle Berry.
Oh, I love
which,
that.
Which one?
Sorry.
Other than Extent, which I will miss. I watched 2 hours of it, and I'm like, no, not anymore, not anymore.
Oh.
And I like Halle Berry.
I do, too. I just watched that movie, the one where she was like the emergency operator. Was it The Call? Is that what it was called?
The Call,
And that was good. It was like way better than I expected it to be. But Catwoman, not so much.
Well, Catwoman, I would have liked Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, but, you know, Halle Berry does not have, she looks great in the costume, but her lines were like nothing.
Right. And, I mean, you can't solely blame her. She obviously didn't write the script. I mean, it was just kind of bad before she ever had it, I think, probably. But, Michelle Pfeiffer was definitely a tough act to follow, so that was probably doomed from the start.
And George Clooney as Batman comes in a good second, but that's okay. Batman and Robin with George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell and Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
And Alicia Silverstone, too. Don't forget. Is Batman.
Oh,
that's
Uma Thurman, we forget. Uma Thurman was like, yes, that is the worst movie. And I know you like Batman, Kim, but that one, no.
I don't like George Clooney at all.
No, the Joel Schumacher series of Batman movies was just bad. Like, Tim Burton was really good. You know, the first two, they were darker. They were a little, grittier, you know.
Yeah.
The actors were better. And then you just went through this really bad, glow-in-the-dark phase of Batman, which was just weird. And, you know, I never really got, the whole fuzzy pink gorilla costume thing that was happening with Uma Thurman. It was just all weird. And then it was like a bad Batman acid trip. And then they got better. Like, the new ones are good for different reasons, because it brings in the more modern CG and it kind of has a more realistic city-type feel to it and stuff. But I'm not a huge Christian Bale fan as Batman, personally.
Yeah,
I think he tries too hard for the voice.
No, I like Michael Keaton when he goes, I'm Batman.
Yeah. Michael favorite.
I just saw a recent movie called Noah with Russell Crowe, and I didn't get it at all.
I haven't seen it.
I didn't love it at all.
Let's say it this way. I saw Noah, and I got that sinking feeling in it.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're going to throw shoes at me, just tell me. I'll duck.
And I wanted to like it, but it was like, really, honestly, Lord of the Rings version of Noah, the story. And they tried to make it more of a fantasy, and it just didn't work. And it was a mess, in my opinion. But it's a failure to me.
Well, did you read? They said it was loosely based on the biblical story.
Loosely. How do you loosely?
something from a biblical story.
That's awesome.
I didn't write the line, but that's what it says. It's loosely based on the biblical story. I'm like, okay.
That's a great line, actually.
The interpretation of that could be that Noah, instead of building an ark, he went and got a hooker. I mean, that's loosely
right.
based on it.
They're named
well, also,
the same. He has the they were both named Noah, so it's loosely based.
They added these rock creatures out of The Hobbit that sort of...
What?
Wait
a minute. Did you say they added rock creatures? You mean movie, The Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Well, apparently
that guy was
in
there.
He made a comeback. Now we know who wrote the book, The Neverending Story. It was God. He wrote it, okay?
Yeah, it was loosely based. You didn't know that? It was loosely based. The Neverending Story was loosely based on Noah. You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
No,
I learned
I
that
all
every time
circle.
I come on one of these shows.
It's all related. Awesome.
Well,
at least it's all related,
They don't really say the word God in it at all. They say the Creator instead. And that just took me out too, because this is a biblical story from the Bible, and even if it's loosely based on it, it's still titled Noah, and there's only one Noah. You know?
I just need to know if people out in Hollywood are really are they smoking it? I mean, are they taking acid trips really? Because I'm a creator, I created my child, so now am I God? This would be loosely based.
Do you remember the line from Time Bandits? One of my favorite lines from Time Bandits. The little boy is talking to Time Bandits, and he says, "We work for the Supreme Being." And the kid goes, "You mean God?" He says, "We don't know him that personally."
I love that.
Oh, my God. I just don't even know anymore.
Okay.
Well, all I can tell you is that I was around in the 70s. When Hollywood was in its drug heyday. And let me tell you, one of the interpretations of Lord of the Rings was they did not have CG, obviously, but they had, it was an animated version of Lord of the Rings.
Are you talking Wizards, or are you talking the Ralph Bashke one where they did rotoscoping?
The Ralph Bashke one, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was horrible. And it was like, that should have never been done.
With our movie tickets now, they should give us, a little trip of acid so that we can actually get what the hell they're trying to get out of this movie.
Since we're talking about movies and all, what's your favorite movies that you can watch yearly? I mean, every Christmas I have to watch Die Hard, and every Easter time I usually watch Willy Wonka, the Gene Wilder version, and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and once in a blue moon I break out It's a Wonderful Life about December 23rd or whatever.
Yeah,
so
a good one.
I'm not saying Christmas movies. I'm saying what kind of your favorite movie or favorite movies you like to watch yearly or something.
I like comedies. I think the Oscars should have a comedy. If they don't, I haven't watched them lately. But
is there a favorite movie you watch every year?
Airplane.
All
of the scary movies.
All About Eve is brilliant. I watch it all the time. Burlesque.
The one with Cher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. It's a guilty pleasure.
Remember, he said that. Get the men right. It's Justin that said it, not Bennett.
I own
that.
Well,
since we're going to go there, I'm going to say Steel Magnolias and Magic Mike.
Okay, which Steel Magnolias? There are three different versions.
Sally Field.
Oh, my gosh.
There is
okay,
not
thank
one.
You.
Sally Field.
I was talking on a panel at a book convention, and somebody, a young African-American lady, went up to me and says, "I love Steel Magnolias." I said, "Great, Sally Field." She says, "No, Queen Latifah." I'm like, okay.
What?
Okay. Queen Latifah did it. On Lifetime or whatever, but it was like, you have to, they have to, you have to specify
it,
nowadays because, they remake everything 16 times to Sunday.
Well, this is what I don't understand with all of the amazing books that are coming out into the market. I mean, the market is flooded with trad pubs, indie pubs, crossovers. with all of these amazing books, I don't understand why they keep going back to remake movies. Footloose with Kevin Bacon. Classic.
Yeah. Why
what the hell did they remake that for?
It was terrible. The remake was terrible.
Introduce the kids today to Kevin Bacon. He's still sexy. It's good.
I think it's hard for Hollywood to like break out and do something different. And I think once something, anytime they find something that is different and it's a success, then what you get is they you know, mimic it and everyone does their own. It kind of
If they do this with 16 Candles or The Breakfast Club, I'm boycotting Hollywood. I'm just letting you know.
Well, start boycotting. The Breakfast Club is on the drawing board with the Amblin.
Really? Then I boycott.
Wow.
There were reasons to boycott Hollywood.
Do remember, that's not me that boycotts Hollywood. I want to live because every time, even though
I'm going to say that I fully endorse Hollywood and I embrace everything they do. Sheer genius out in California.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you'd like the options to my books, please contact me.
Well, I'm going to say this because last night I had Ashley Fontaine as my guest, and she just she did a novella called The Number 75, and they just finally got the financing and everything else, and they're going to be starting to film the movie. And believe me, I'm very glad, and I'm hoping they don't really mess it up because I'd really like to see this make film, and you know, and really do a wonderful job. And to me, we need more independent movies. They used to release 200 movies a year. Now they release 22. You know, and you got independents, but you don't have that much. You have 22, 25 movies that open, and or if not, they have more. But the thing is, they play them against each other, and if it's one doesn't do good, it's gone, which annoys the heck out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cost of launching a movie in theaters is about $25 million just for marketing. So they have to figure out which way to go with it, and that's a lot of money. That's why so many independent films are better, because they don't take up that much marketing money.
Well, what amazes me is films that I thought would be, oh, it's going to be in the theater, it's going to be in the theater, it's in the theater for 3 days. I'm being facetious on the 3 days.
Yeah.
A week, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, it's on DVD or whatever. There was a movie I wanted to see, and they said, oh, yeah, soon to be at this theater, and they had the coming attraction thing and everything else called Parker. And it was based on a Donald West. It had Jason Strathern from Expendables 3, and it had Nick Nolte, and it had Jennifer Lopez. And it had a great – and directed by Taylor Hackford, who, of course, did Ray and has done a million other movies. And the thing died so quick at the box office. It was like it didn't track even, and it went right to DVD. And I found it, like, on the $5 pile at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought it. You know, I mean, that's where most of our movies are now, the $5 pile at Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a really good one that went right to DVD. It was out, and it's an art film with Scarlett Johansson. It's a horror film based on the Michael Faber book, Under the Skin. Have you heard of that
one? Yes.
And it's brilliant. I mean, it's eerie, it's creepy, it's Scarlett Johansson just doing her stuff. And there's not a lot of dialogue, but she's playing somebody that is just so evil and bad. And she's the whole movie. And it's worth renting, Under the Skin.
Well, I'm Lucy. I wanted to go see Lucy, her new one, and it vanished from the theater.
Already?
Already, it vanished.
Wow.
And it has Morgan Freeman too, but it went gone. It's like, mm-hmm. One week.
It beat Hercules, I think.
It did, but Hercules is still playing because they have The Rock is The Rock, you know.
The Rock. Yeah.
That's man candy right there. You can't go wrong with The Rock in a movie.
I'm sorry?
You can't go wrong putting The Rock in a movie.
Well, I can't wait to see the Fast and the Furious 7 myself.
Yeah, me too.
Because I don't even pay attention to the dialogue or the storyline. I'm just paying attention to his chest.
Yeah.
I don't care what he's saying. I'm just looking at his chest.
Was Magic Mike a good movie?
Mm-hmm.
He asked you, is Magic Mike a good movie?
Making enough money, they're making a sequel. I have no clue why they're making a sequel for this at all.
Yes, you do. You just said it, so everyone can stare at their chest. I think
right.
You said the
not
answer
just
to that.
Chest, because
just
they pull,
a couple minutes ago.
You get to see their booties and all of it, and the dialogue is. I'll tell you what, Magic Mike, the funniest thing of the whole movie. The only thing that, aside from the gorgeous men, that captured my attention was Gabriel Iglesias, the fluffy guy, being like the DJ guy, because he's so funny. He is hysterical, and he is the only thing that, like, those are the only lines I paid attention to. I don't want to hear, they put this whole host of, and they are very attractive men. They really are very attractive men, each and every one of them in their own rights. However,
you mean Adam Rodriguez and Matt Bomer and all those other ones, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I don't want to hear, if I hear Matthew McConaughey's voice one more time, I swear to you, my head's going to explode. I don't want to hear
it. It's all right, all right, all right.
I can't, like, he is just,
Wait a second, did I hear an explosion on the...
Yes, I just want him to be quiet and just stand there. It's all good.
Flex.
I mean,
right. It's
like, okay, we're in a new age now. That's how it used to be back in the day where men used to say, well, just stand there and be pretty. Now it's women saying, just stand there and shut up and just look nice. Just be quiet. Good Lord. Just be quiet.
Just flex.
That's kind of how I am. I have no clue why they're... except for to make more money because drooling women are going to come in there and watch this. However, they're going to have a fight because 50 Shades of Grey is coming out in February, and they released that trailer. And my entire news feed for 2 days, oh, my God, did you see it? Oh, my God. I'm like, I have not, and I'm not ashamed to say this, I have not read the books, 50 Shades of Grey.
I haven't either. I haven't read the books, but I have to say the trailer was well done.
It really, right? So I do want to read.
I mean, I think that
it
will appeal to people from a cinematic standpoint that haven't
yeah.
read the books. So they're going to cash
yeah.
in on a whole slew of people who never even bothered to read the books.
Absolutely.
And those
Beyonce,
of us who didn't
Beyonce
for other reasons.
Song was brilliant, but Beyonce's song that she sung during the trailer was really quite good. And the trailer works. And I didn't read the books.
Oh, the remake of that song is excellent, I thought.
Yeah.
And you're right, and it fit very well with you know, the images, the whole thing. They tied it together. It was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, I have not. My sister read the book, and she was like, "You've got to read these books." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'm okay."
Yeah, well, that's
I'm
like Anne Rice's beauty books. Come on, you know, it's a fad. I mean, I love Anne Rice's beauty books, but it'll also go away just like 50 Shades of Grey does. I mean, I hate to say it. And I'm not tooting everybody else's horn. I think you know this lady, too. Elizabeth Black wrote a better book. It's called Don't Call Me Baby. And I think it's better than 50 Shades of Grey, but I'm prejudiced.
Well, there are a lot of, in everybody's opinion, there's a lot of different books that are better than it, but I will say this, that 50 Shades of Grey is what brought erotica back into the forefront.
See,
it really
I think
did.
That sells that genre short, and that was what I was going to say. I think the most disappointing thing about 50 mm-hmm. Shades of Grey was how it short sells that genre and all those other authors.
Right.
Because there was that whole news blitz, and like I remember it was the Today Show was talking about it, and you know, what's her name that does the Natalie Morales was like, oh, it's
yeah.
so blah. And they started coining the phrase mommy porn and this and the other. And I was
right.
like, but there are books that have been out there that have more of a plot or more character development.
More
I haven't read these books, so I can't
yeah.
criticize the you know the whole 50 Shades thing because I haven't actually read her books. But I mean, there's just so much more that's already been out there for a really long time. And just because this media circuit wasn't in the know, didn't
mm-hmm.
make it new. Or like,
I'm sorry,
has
anybody ever read Tropic of Cancer or Henry Miller's Tropic of Cancer, which was or the Magus by John Fowles?
Yeah.
some of these are still, some of these are just as powerful as Fifty Shades of Grey, but those books are like left on the shelf, and you know,
right.
we focus on
right.
Fifty Shades of Grey from this young author or this married author, whatever you want to call her, and she has a lot to her, and I love her dearly. She can write things, and she does really well, but she also doesn't. You know, if you've listened grammatically and literary, it's weak.
Well, I think the difference between her and the reason she caught fire faster maybe was just because she already had the machine behind. She's in the industry, not the book
mm-hmm.
industry so much as like the PR, and maybe that's what she does in London. So she had access to move that machine faster than other people would. So
yep.
So I think that, and I don't begrudge her that. I don't take that as you know, embittered comment. If you have the access, if you have the means, more power to you, you know, because then you can use those outlets to push your product, and I think that that's fantastic. But
I think that's why a lot of indie authors band together so much in this industry. You'll see a lot of indie authors band together and different authors with different strengths and weaknesses that will come together because they come together like a team because they're trying to push each other out there. I get really upset and offended when I hear people say, well, you know, every author's out for themselves. There are going to be those authors that are out there for themselves, but you'll see a lot of people come together. Last year at Hella Read, as a matter of fact, C.J. Ellison, I love her. Can't wait to hug her again. She came over and she was, you know, she's like, you've got the personality. Because I don't shy away from anybody and I don't shy away from any subject. I'm just that type of person. What you see is what you get. And for some unearthly reason, people are drawn to that. I don't understand it because most of the time I can be mean. I really can. But she's
mm-hmm.
like, you've got that personality. She's like, but this is what you need to do for your brochures because this is not what you want for those. This is what you want. So she was coming in to give me advice to help me and not to, like, to come into the fold here. You know, she's established way much more than I am. And she's like, here, you know, so when they band together like that, we can build a bigger machine. But because E.L. James had that over in London already, she was able to do that. And you're going to see a lot of people over here, and I have seen a lot of people over here lately that have been catching, they're literally picking up steam and catching fire right now because they're becoming friends with the other people, the bigger people in the industry, and then they're banding together. And you would think that a lot of people in the industry think that, like, Jamie Maguire, Teresa Mummert, Tiffany King, all of these people that, you know, are out there, that they don't get involved to help promote your stuff or give you advice or things like that. And it's shocking just how that it's the opposite. They really are there to help each other. And that's one of the things I like about being an indie author.
Well, I love the give and play that, because I ask anybody, a lot of the indie authors, and it's like, Bennett Show? Yes, we're going. What time?
Well, yeah.
I haven't read the 50 Shades of Grey books, but I also have a background. I'm just recently an author in the last 3 years, but I worked behind the counters of bookstores for 20 years. So I was the manager, clerk, and seeing that side of the business helped with the publishing side. But I, as a self-published and a small publisher too later on, but I actually really respect E.L. James as an author, and I compare it kind of like the Harry Potter, the J.K. Rowling thing, where you have this phenomenal series of books and they're very well written. I actually waited until they were all complete before I read them all, and I adored them. I thought they were brilliant. But there are people who don't like Harry Potter, or the way they're written, why do people read them? And I hear that with E.L. James' 50 Shades of Grey. Now, what happened in the bookstore when Harry Potter, all the people have read them all, but then all of these kids and parents were coming in saying, what else is there? And that's when I could recommend a new author, or somebody who has the first book out, or
Same with E.L. James. Then what else is like 50 Shades of Grey? It helps the whole industry and the genre. And that's why I really like what E.L. James has done. I think it's really great for other erotica authors and romance authors especially because of what happened with her, how it blew up.
Exactly.
That's kind of how what happened with Stephenie Meyer. If it wasn't for Stephenie Meyer, I mean, L.J. Smith was like, for YA books, she was the first author I ever got hooked on as far as YA paranormal. I read her books religiously, but when Stephenie Meyer put Twilight out, after it was done, people were going into the bookstores and into the library. What else can I read that's like this? That's where this monstrosity...
Yeah. I say this, you know, Twilight came out, and then I was suggesting to people Lovecraft, and they're like, that's so old. I'm like, yes, but it's so good. Why aren't we doing this? And they're like, Lovecraft. To me, it was one of the things I grew up on, and it was like H.P. Lovecraft, and they're like, ooh, monsters, ooh, paranormal,
right.
Ooh.
And that's like with L.J. Smith. L.J. Smith was long before Stephenie Meyer. However, Twilight came out first, then the Vampire Diaries TV show, and now it's exploded. And so now they're starting...
And Supernatural, if it wasn't for Supernatural, the TV series kicking, we wouldn't have Vampire Diaries. We wouldn't have the originals and the other things. We wouldn't have the originals. We wouldn't have all that stuff. And if it wasn't for, and dare I say it, the Batman movie, we wouldn't have Arrow, and we wouldn't be having the new Flash series and Considine and all, and Sleepy, even Sleepy Hollow a little. I mean, yeah.
Oliver McQueen, yes.
Yes. Let me take a break. Let me take 1 second break here because I need to do my homework because I don't want people screaming at me later, okay? On Monday, and that will be Monday the 11th of August, I will be talking with my favorite attorney on the legal show, Sarah Steele. We will be discussing the Expendables 3 and the lawsuits that are coming up for somebody putting it out on the Internet. Not a good thing. On the 12th, I will be a guest with Marcia Casper Cook, and this is why I mentioned Elizabeth Black earlier. Elizabeth Black, who wrote Don't Call Me Baby, and Jolie Dupree, and Marcia Casper Cook is a good story on the World Event Network on the 12th. On the 13th, I'm not doing anything this week, you could tell. On Let's Talk with Huffington Post columnist Rachel Thompson and myself, we have an author twofer. We have Marjorie Walling Shaw and Andrew Martineau. So it'll be, you know, Andrew just wrote Daddy Monster, which is a great children's book. And Marjorie has her organization, and she just wrote a book as well. And on Friday, on Anything Goes, the classic Betty Award-winning show, we have Joanna Dossier, which will be really, really, really nice because she just did her second book, and it's selling very, very well. And so I'm waiting to hear that. And just a reminder, on the 23rd, we will have another Any Which Way But Loose with Candy O'Donnell, Alyssa Day, Sharon Krepps, and Sarana DeWild. So, it, you know, everybody's coming on it, a lot of independent authors, and I may keep it under your hat. I may have a co-host for that show, and I'm not going to say who, but she's a minor celebrity, and for her to come, it would be really, really nice, and I'm really happy that she said yes. But I can't talk about it yet, so I'll just shut up and just say it'll be on the 23rd, so that'll be the surprise. Okay. Sorry about that, folks. I needed to do that because if I didn't, people get mad at me.
No way.
Hey, I'd rather do all my homework. Now, I want to talk a little about you guys as authors because I know that you guys, you know, I know Kim, you do a lot of, you write children's books, you write other things, but if you could only do one, I know you write paranormal, but you write a lot of different genres in that paranormal. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just saying just you, but if you could do only one of them, what would it be? What genre would you write?
New adult paranormal romance.
Okay.
Just because I can put so much into it, with the kids' books, you're really limited, and you're doing it just for... I remember last year when I was reading to the kids with Uh-Oh, they wanted to make sure it wasn't too scary because it's for younger kids, so you're kind of limited with what you can do there. I've played around with erotica, and I enjoy it, but it's not like... It's not my, you know, bag of oats that I really want to sink my teeth into. But with new adult, you can pretty much bring in the age group from, like, 16, 17 to 25 and really play around with the ages. And I kind of like that age group where there's so much that happens to them during that time frame in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You make so many mistakes. And when you add monsters and never sparkling vampires, my vampires kill. They don't sparkle. But you can bring monsters into this, and you can add a whole new element, a whole new layer to the problems that you're giving to these young adults and things. So I think that's where I'd probably go. I'd probably stick there if I had to only pick one.
Okay. Rachel?
What was the question again? I was so busy listening to what she was saying. Start
over. It's all right. It's all right. If you could basically just pick one genre, because I know you have a couple of books, and not all of them are paranormal, if I'm correct. You know, if you could only do one genre, which one would it be?
I think I would stay. I actually am pretty tight in my. I dabble in horror a little bit, but I think I'd probably stay.
You see? I know.
Urban
I know.
Fantasy. I think I'm going to stick with my paranormal urban fantasy. That's what I'm most comfortable with. And I tend to read that, and I think you kind of write what you like. And it's that way it's not forced, it's kind of free-flowing, and, you know, you enjoy to read those things, and it transcends into how you write them as well. So I think I would stay with this, my urban fantasy.
Patty, what about you?
I think it would be sci-fi, dark sci-fi, I think, because I like to give my characters a lot of baggage. Isadora Daystar was one. She was an ex-military drug addict prostitute, and she had a lot of baggage. And I can't tell you why, because that would ruin the whole story. But also, when I did the Future Imperfect trilogy, that was for a romance publisher, and I gave the two, the heroine and the hero, very big guilt baggages. And I think it's dark and gritty. I would like to keep a little bit of romance in there because I think it can be redeeming. But it would definitely be the dark, gritty sci-fi, I think.
So, Justin, what's the weirdest thing that's happened to you as an author or a writer?
Oh, the weirdest thing. Just having anyone recognize that they like my work, because that never happened before, and it's a recent thing. So, and not just locally, but because the social media world is so flat, it's global. I hear from people in Cyprus or Argentina or something that they like the story that I wrote, or something free that I'm writing on my blog, I get a comment or something, and I go, that's really great, you know, just that you hear from people you don't know who like your work.
Rachel, what's the weirdest thing to happen to you?
Probably that I decided not to use a pen name, and there's another author out there with the same name as me. I think that's probably the weirdest.
As long as it works,
really,
that's
name.
All that matters. Patty, what about you?
Wow, the weirdest thing that ever happened. My sister, who I co-author with a lot of the time, sent in a partial manuscript, like 3 pages, and they were like, okay, we want the book, so we had to write an entire mystery novel in like 4 days. So that was not only the weirdest, but the hardest, too.
Wow.
Oh.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
4 days?
I'm sorry?
Wow. 4 days.
Well, let me get, Dana has asked me via Yahoo, asked me to answer the question, too. I was going to skip it, Dana, but that's okay. I'll do it. It says, what's the weirdest thing that's happened to me? I was in Target buying a microwave. Yeah, I do my own grocery shopping, and I buy my own stuff. And this woman was in, she says, I know you. And I said, okay. And she says, you're the guy from the radio. I said, okay, well, my picture is on most of the things, you know, on Facebook and other. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. She said, I listen to you all the time. I said, that's great. So what are you doing here? Now, there's a microwave in my cart. I said, buying a microwave. She says, don't you have people that do that?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I have a dozen, didn't you know? Yeah, just our son.
Right. Well, Jeeves has the day off, so I thought I would just take a jaunt out to the store and get the microwave myself.
Yeah, to me, it's like some people don't believe that, you know, it's like they see your picture and they're like, oh, you're the guy from the radio, yeah. You're famous, you know. So let me ask you, let me start with Rachel. What format do you like reading books in? Not your books, books.
I do prefer a paperback, still, or a hardback. I mean, like an actual physical book. But I have gone the way of the Kindle. I didn't think I would like it, as you know, at all, honestly, but... I like the convenience of having my entire
Paperwhite
read
or the
pile
Kindle Fire, or what do we have?
You know, I still have the very first, or maybe it was the second Kindle edition, but I do still have that. And my daughter keeps asking me when she gets to keep it, and I keep telling her that I have a to be read pile on it, and she can't have it until I'm done. So somewhere between next and never, I guess she'll get it. But now I have a Kindle Fire that also has a gigantic to-be-read pile on it. But my husband he's a big techie. I'm not a techie. I've only had 3 different cell phones, like, ever, so I'm not a huge tech person, but he loves, like, the new gadget, and he made me get that first Kindle because I was like, I don't want it. I like my books. I like the way they smell. I like holding the books. It's a whole experience. You just don't understand. But he was like, we're going to save a lot of money if you get this Kindle. So he made me.
And have,
he's like, the way
wait a second. I want to see if I can prove him right or wrong. Have you?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when he made me get it, I was reading probably a book a day. So he was like, yeah, I've definitely saved. I mean, that first Kindle paid for itself in a couple of months.
So, Kim, what format do you like reading your books in? Not your books, but books of yours.
Library.
Let me try that again. The books you buy that are not your books.
I buy everything. I'm like Rachel. I have 3 Kindles right now, and they're so full. And not only that, but again, like Rachel, I don't like the new fangled gadgets, and I liked my old phone, and they made me get this Android thing. And so now there's a Kindle app on that to read books too, so everything is full. I prefer paperbacks. I prefer paperbacks buying them from the library because they have that old library. My husband calls it an old gym sock. The old gym sock smell.
Yeah, I love that smell.
Books from a library, like older books, just have this smell. And my favorite thing is to just lay, like when it's snowy. And I live on the Mason-Dixon, so we get snow most of the time. And just lay there in front of my fireplace with my book and my little blanket. And I will read it on Kindle. I have not saved money from it because I have a really bad one-click finger. It's horrible. It's a disease. It really is a disease, so... But I'll read any format. At this point, I don't care. I'm just like, is it a book? Is it good?
Yeah.
I'll just, whatever. What's available at this point? But I really do. I love going into the libraries, and they'll have the book sales, and
I discover authors that I never knew, and they're legitimate. They are they're established, like long ago established, and I never knew about them, and I'll find out about them. And I have bookshelves and bookshelves and boxes of books like this. So my goal is to be Belle from Beauty and the Beast and have my husband build that library for me. And then Kat mm-hmm. Miller and Rachel will come over and we'll sit there in Chaise Lounge chairs. And we're going to have some wonderful mimosas while we read.
I would love that.
Instead.
So let me ask you, what's the best thing that, Justin, what's the best thing that came from your writing career?
So the best thing that came through, I self-published a collection of stories, and then right before that, a small publisher was reading my blog along with them, and I published a story there for free, and then they said, well, do you have a book? So I sent them the stories. And I said I was publishing these, and I published them, and then they said they wanted it, so they ended up publishing the paperback version of the book a year later, and it's got great notices. It was like the top suspense anthology of last year from Suspense Magazine, which I felt was like the crowning achievement for that book, and the people who read the stories really, really like the shock of them. I'm pretty happy, that's it.
So, Rachel, what's the best thing that came from your writing career?
The best thing to come from my writing career is being able to say that I have a writing career. Like, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, darling, you have a writing career. I know that. I've read your book. I know you have a writing career. Okay?
Because just the fact that people have read it. I mean, that's still the best thing.
Well, wait a second. You didn't see my Rachel Rawlings sweatshirt? You know, I'm big, your fan. God, you didn't see that? Okay, next time you got to see that. Okay.
Yeah. And then after that, I'd have to say probably having the means to start Hollow Read. Like, if I hadn't taken the leap
you
of faith.
You and Kim have dropped enough hints in it because I was there last year. Tell them what it is so they know what it is.
Oh. That's right. Okay, so Hollow Read is a genre-based reader convention. So it's for fans of paranormal, urban fantasy, steampunk, and horror. And it's a pretty intimate ordeal. There's, 30 to 36 authors to 300 readers is the idea, or attendees. And it just kind of all fell into place. I mean, it started with an idea driving to work, at the old day job. Going through the Fort McHenry Tunnel, and I was like, man, I should do this. And then, by the time I got to the other side of the tunnel, I had a name for it. And then how all the different authors that I had met along the way, just reached out to a few of them, and then before I even had a place to have it, I had 17 authors signed on. And I think, I was like, this is amazing. It kind of goes back to what Kim was saying with the kind of that indie crowd where everybody pools together and we all are of the same mindset that there's room at the top for everybody. Yeah, and so when I started this whole thing, I thought, wouldn't it be an awesome way to showcase that there's this many people in Maryland? I discovered a lot of authors that lived in Maryland when I was reaching out to all these other people, and I was like, they're like, well, I'm local, I'd love to come. And I was like, what do you mean you're local? Like, there's this many people in Maryland who are writing these amazing stories. It just blew my mind. And then the next thing we had somebody who wanted to come from Alaska, and then Dorinda Jones came, all the way out from the Midwest, and then it's grown to this year we have somebody coming from Ireland, which is like, I'm like, you're coming to Maryland, right? Like, you know it's Maryland. Like, this is not, did you get the map? Because I just want to make sure
that was like when Anne McCaffrey did Balticon, and I said, excuse me, can I speak to, do you know if Anne McCaffrey's arrived? And she says, yes, boy, oh, I'm her. And I said, no, you're not. And she showed me the cover photo, and I went, you're Anne McCaffrey. And she says, yes, and you're Ben Pomerantz. And I'm like, yes. And she put me to work at Balticon.
Yeah.
And it's too bad she's no longer with us, but still, it was like, yes, you're Anne McCaffrey. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
She was typing, this was when Balticon was in its infancy, and she was typing the program, helping type the program up. God, I always remember those days. And Count Gore Duvall was there. Dick Dizel. Oh, God, I love you, Dick. And he will be hopefully doing an October show with me before Halloween. So it'll be nice.
Yeah,
So let me ask you, Patty, what's the best thing that came from your writing career?
I don't know. I think it would be people's responses to what I write. And that I think I'm connected with the readers and the reviewers. I think reviewers are very important because they kind of not only help the reader, but they also help me in seeing that this is working, that's not working, or, you know, a certain thing will impress them, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I didn't realize that was having such an effect. So it was kind of like all the feedback. I think
and, of course, you have to remember good radio talk show hosts, right?
Yes, yes, like you. You are my favorite. I'm in love with you.
Oh, thank you. I love you, too. Let me, while I have you answering this question, let me get, because we have about 11 minutes of the hour, let me get your links, spinxes, and jinxes, other than Tano sending smoke signals, how these people can get a hold of you and read you and find you and everything else.
They can, I'm trying to think, there's several places. I have a blog.
Try Lincoln and, first.
I'm sorry about that. Would be I've got so much information here. Would be, if they wanted things like social media, LinkedIn would be P.I. Barrington. All the links, the book is on Amazon. I'm so surprised my...
You forgot Facebook. Let's roll Facebook in.
Facebook. How could I forget? That's my main mode of communication. It is...
Certainly,
yeah, really. I'm trying to think. I have two of them. One is P.I. Barrington on Facebook, and it's with a capital P and a little I, and you have to differentiate that because I made a mistake. And then for the book, it's just Facebook, P.I. Barrington, capitals and periods, and for the initials. And the blog, if they want to get a hold of me. The blog is kind of directed toward other writers. I give them all kinds of like links and things like that that will help them with world building and character things. And that's just P.I. Barrington at WordPress. And the name of the blog is Future Imperfect. And let me see, what else do I have?
I think that's mostly it. I think we got you.
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty much it.
Kimberly, would you like to tell them how they can get a hold of you?
Yes. I'm going to make it really, really simple and really, really quick. You can get everything from my website, www.kbmillerbooks.com. You can get everything from there. Go to every one of the social media sites. But real quick before I leave, I want to say that Jennifer Malone Wright, who's another favorite of yours that comes on here and one of my besties, she's releasing a book tomorrow, Keeper versus Reaper. And Angie Fox, New York Times bestselling author, got an opportunity to read it beforehand. And I can't wait for you guys to see what Andy
well,
has
I'm
to
trying
say
to get it. Jennifer Malone to a show. I hope she'll come soon. I want her to come, hopefully,
on
it.
She just bought a house, and so they're in the process of moving. So you might want to hit her up, like, right after September. But her book releases tomorrow, Keeper versus Reaper. It's unlike anything you've ever seen before. So make sure you guys go over to Jen's page. You can find her from my page. And we've got a release party tomorrow, and I'll be on there hosting and giving away all kinds of prizes. So come and join us.
Give me a bookmark or two or a magnet or two, okay?
Yeah, I'll make sure she holds some stuff back.
Not that I'm excluded. Let me get Rachel first, because ladies should be first, right? Right, Justin?
No worries.
Rachel?
I think that Kim had the right idea there. So I will direct people to my website, which is just rachelrawlings.com, and then that has links to everything else, you know, where the books are and all the other.
And HollowRead, how do they get a hold of that for there, and when is it this
that
year?
That is HollowRead.com. So that has the ticket links
and
all the different
stuff. And when is it this year?
Going on. It is the 24th, the 25th, the 26th. We've really expanded it. We have a haunted house up at the PFI ruins that we're going to be putting on this year. We've got two paranormal investigation teams that are coming in, and you can get tickets to participate in the ghost hunt. We've got grave rubbings, live music, Kim's
and
reading
next
again
year,
for the
next
kids.
Year, next year we'll do Any Which Way But Loose live.
Yeah, oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, I can definitely
well,
find you a place
we could do it next year.
Shop,
you know,
that.
We'll
yeah,
plan
definitely.
We'll plan on it. We'll come and do a we'll do a show live. Sheesh, God, it'll be fun. Get as many authors as we
yeah,
can on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's next
Absolutely.
Year. We're not planning this year. This year in October, I'm busy, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll do it for next year.
Justin, tell them how they can
good.
Get a hold of you.
I just want to Hollow Reed sounds fantastic. I just the first
oh
I heard
thanks.
Of it, it sounds really cool.
Thank you.
I didn't answer the story about what genre I'd love to write, but that would be horror exclusively, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm branching out of suspense, so you can find all of my work at justinbogg.com, BOG.com, including I'm challenging myself by writing a weekly horror serial, and it's up to 15
oh,
chapters,
cool.
and every and it's free yeah. on my blog, and it's getting a good response, and I'm challenging myself because it's a huge cast of characters that I'm keeping in my head for so long, and having to write it once a week is...
Let
is,
me ask you,
is
are you
really...
going to take that blog and finally put it into a book after you get so much?
I hope so, but I mean, right now it's like, it's taking on a life of its own. I'm always thinking about it, like it is a book. So probably yes, if it is any good by the end. And
oh,
hey, good,
come
so.
On, it'll be good. You know that. I've read your stuff. It's going to be good. You know, sheesh. It'll be
well,
very, very good.
Yeah, well, I like taking it out, and I like sharing stories with fans and readers so that there's something that they can buy or read for free, and that's really nice.
Well, all kidding aside, I wanted to make, because we only have a few minutes left, I wanted to make sure we know, on the 23rd, on Any Which Way But Loose, we will have Sarianna DeWild, Candy O'Donnell, Alyssa Day, and Sharon Krebs. It'll be a jam-packed 90 minutes again. It'll be a lot of fun. I have to thank my guests. Justin, I'm sorry, you're going to be last on this one. I'm sorry. Guys are always last. You know that. The lovely and talented Rachel Rawlings. Thank you, darling. The wonderful KB Miller. P.I. Barrington.
Thank you.
And Justin.
Pleasure to be here.
it's been a wonderful, wonderful 90 minutes. Thank you, ladies, for coming. And sir, excuse me. I'm so used to having ladies on the show. It's so weird to have another guy. It's like, yeah, there's a guy on the show. Okay. But
awesome.
All kidding aside, the World of Ink, as I said, is a wonderful place, and the Marcia Kesper Cook and Virginia Grenier have a lot of shows during the week, and they're a wonderful organization. And I have to thank them again for giving me the opportunity to do this show. And I thank the ladies and Justin for a wonderful evening. We got a plan to do this again. Hopefully after Hollow Reads, right, Rachel?
Yes, we'll do a recap show.
There you go.
We will.
I wanted to let you know, Bennett. On September 9th, I'll be on Willow's show, The Paranormal Hour, with her.
Oh, good.
So, perhaps you
well,
can stop by there
and say hi. They don't give me September stuff, dear. They only give me August.
Aw, I'll be on in September.
Well, okay. But it'll be nice. And let me just mark Hollow Reads on my lovely calendar. It is the 24th of October, and you get the tickets from hollowreads.com or .org. I'm sorry. I want to make sure we get
.com.
This in.
.com.
It is well worth getting. And if you see both of these ladies, and they are great ladies, they will give you the shirts off their backs, and they're wonderful people. And I love them both, and I think they know that. I hope they know that anyway. Well, now that I've said
sure.
it'll be archived, and then you guys can hold it against me. So everyone have a pleasant evening. Good night. Be safe. Fly right. And thank you for coming. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you, Bennett.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.